To offend or not to offend? That's the question. Did you know that there are probably things that you do that if I knew about it, it would be offensive to me? And there are things that I do that if you found out, would be offensive to you. Okay? Believe it or not. To offend or not to offend, that's kind of the big question this morning, and how do you glorify God in these situations? How do you glorify God when you have issues that can be offensive between brothers and sisters in Christ, or just between, it could be unbelievers as well? That's what we're going to be diving into today. It's a similar theme to what we've looked at for the past 3 weeks, because Paul has spent 3 chapters now, 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, kind of revolving around the same theme, because there was a big problem in the church in Corinth that he was addressing. For them, it had to do with for what was very offensive to some people was eating meat sacrificed to idols. Okay, and so he's been dwelling on this subject for 3 chapters, and we're finishing up chapter 10. This will be the fourth message that kind of revolves around this theme. And I'm thinking he probably spent 3 chapters on it and such a long section of his letter because the people in Corinth weren't getting it, and they needed him to keep hammering it home. And I think it probably gets into an area of our lives that we can have a hard time getting as well. And so, even though it's going to sound similar to some of the things we've covered already, maybe we need to hear it kind of again or from a different angle. And it is a little bit different angle today. So I want to start with some questions. As Christians, it's very important for us to glorify God with our lives. I mean, a lot of us would say what the goal of the Christian life is to glorify God in everything that we do. And certainly you can see in Scripture that that's extremely important. And we have to learn how to do that because we aren't born doing that very well. We are born with sin in our lives and offending God or sinning against God. And so we don't glorify God very well. So we need to learn as we become Christians how to do that. And this morning I want to start with a few questions that have to do with what we think glorifies God the most in certain situations. And these are situations that can where we can offend one another. So what glorifies God the most? Please raise your hands. I'm going to start with some easy ones, so you can raise your hands on this one. I don't know how these questions are going to go. What glorifies God most, driving a Ford or driving a Chevy? Okay, who thinks driving a Ford glorifies God the most? Okay. Yeah, all right. Who thinks driving a Chevy glorifies God the most? All right, all right. So in our family, we have a Ford, a Chevy, and a Honda. Ooh, it's like a blended family. All right. How about this one? What glorifies God most, drinking a Coke or drinking a Pepsi? Okay, Coke. How many Coke drinkers are out there? Yeah, there we go. I'm with you. Okay, Pepsi glorifies God most. Pepsi? Wow. That's offensive. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is a big one. What glorifies God the most? Cheering for the Packers? Or cheering for the Vikings? Woo! All right. These are lighthearted. And yet people can have pretty strong opinions still about these things. Usually we don't offend people too bad in those types of things. But now let's get a little deeper and talk about some issues that people can take a lot more seriously. And this is where we start to get into some offensive things. Don't raise your hand for these things, okay? Like, we don't need to know on these, all right? So what glorifies God the most? I tried to pick out a variety of things and touch on some of the hot topics that we've been talking about in the past few weeks. Dressing up for church or coming as you are? or not dressing up. Okay? That one's not too scary. How about this one? What glorifies God most? Eating at a bar or not eating at a bar? Okay? Do you think one glorifies God more than the other? Here's one. Movies. Okay, I picked a movie out that I've heard both sides. Watching a Harry Potter movie or not watching a Harry Potter movie. Some people feel very strongly in that. Or here we go. What glorifies God most? Supporting the Republicans or supporting the Democrats? I have to go there, okay? Here we go, last one. What glorifies God most? Wearing a mask or not wearing a mask? Ooh. All right? So Christians obviously have very strong opinions about these things. And if you haven't run into that, all of these, there can be super strong opinions. And I want us to think about them because they tie into the theme of our passage today. They tie into what we've been talking about for several weeks. But this particularly has to do with what glorifies God in these types of situations. These things all have two things in common. First of all, each of them has to do with something the Bible gives us freedom or permission to choose either way. Okay? And it really does. And each of them has to do with something that Christians can offend one another with. Okay? So each of these issues has to do with Christian liberty, freedom, permission. Each can become an offensive issue. In the passages that we've been studying lately, the spotlight has been on eating meat sacrificed to idols, and that was an issue that the Bible gave Christians in Corinth the freedom to choose either way. You can eat meat or you cannot eat meat. And it is a topic that was very offensive, or that the Christians in that church were offending one another with. So some, as we've seen, thought they could eat and they should eat. And others thought that they should abstain. So the question that I want to ask you about them is, what decision glorified God the most? Eating the meat or not eating the meat? What glorifies God the most in the issues that I asked you about, or any of these issues where Christians can offend one another? And Scripture gives us freedom to choose. It seems to me like maybe a natural response that I see often among Christians is that we assume that what glorifies God most is to do what I think is right. Okay, so you have these different issues, and if I'm going to glorify God, I've got to stand firm and I've got to do what I think is right. I've got to be bold and do what I think is right. I'm not going to back down, even if it creates an offense. God wants us to do what we think is right, regardless of how others may feel. In fact, I've seen the attitude that to boldly stand firm in the face of opposition is especially commendable and glorifies God even more. And so, if I believe it's right to drink a beer or go to a bar, I'm going to go ahead and do it, whether people like it or not. If I believe it's right to watch a Harry Potter movie or celebrate Halloween, and I have permission biblically to do that, I'm going to go ahead. If I think it's right to support and promote Republicans, I'm going to do that, or Democrats, I'm going to do that. However, I want to do it, and it doesn't matter what others say or think. If I think it's right to wear a mask or not wear a mask, I'm going to do what I think is right, whether people like it or not. That's the attitude that I see is common among Christians, and we think it glorifies God to stand firm for what we believe and not back down. I'm going to do what I think is right, whether I offend people or not. If they get offended, that's their problem. I'm going to glorify God by doing what I think is right. So this boldness feels commendable. We think it's honorable to God. And if we do the opposite and we don't stand firm, but we kind of give in to social pressure, it feels like a lack of faith or a sinful compromise. And so we think God is glorified when I'm bold and stand firm, but not if I back down. Now, I do want to be very clear that I'm not talking about things like murder or adultery or stealing or worshiping idols or any of these things that Scripture doesn't give us permission to do. All right? There are several things the Bible does not give us room for disagreement or doesn't give us permission, but there are many that it does, and it's probably more than we're willing to admit sometimes because we get so passionate about certain issues, and it's like the reality is that the Bible does give us permission to choose. Is God glorified most when we stand up for what we believe, even when it offends other people? Or is there something else we should aim for? That's the question for today. And that's what Paul deals with. He goes into it in this last half of chapter 10. He helps us work through it. And we've covered a lot of ground in the last few weeks. And the common issue, again, has been eating meat sacrificed to idols. Paul's still dealing with that issue with the Corinthian people and here at the end of chapter 10. But this time he does it in the context of how they can glorify God the most in that situation. So that's what we're going to look at today. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 23. You're going to see here, it sounds familiar because in chapter 6, Paul started out the same way by quoting a common slogan that they used in Corinth that was also being used in the church by people who were standing firm for what they believed when it came to eating meat sacrificed to idols. So in these first couple verses, we see what Paul has to say about that. Verses 23 and 24. Here's what he says, and this is the slogan. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And so you have this saying, all things are lawful, and it was being used by the people in the church to argue that since the Bible didn't prohibit it, they had the right to eat meat sacrificed to idols. Okay, but you can see that Paul pushes back against that idea. He doesn't go along with that idea. They had the right to eat meat sacrificed to idols, but he said, but not all things are helpful. Okay, not all things build up. It might be lawful to eat meat, but sometimes it isn't helpful to other people and it doesn't build them up. Sometimes it's harmful to them. Sometimes it's offensive to them. And Paul points out in verse 24, it's more important as a Christian to seek the good of your neighbor than to seek your own good. So I was thinking this morning, if a mom or dad gives their kid permission to practice drums in the house, and the kid finds out that their sibling isn't feeling well and is trying to take a nap, they shouldn't practice, okay? But they could be like, but mom said I could. It doesn't matter. Just because you have permission doesn't mean you should, all right? It's pretty simple, right? Paul obviously didn't think that the Corinthians had a good argument for eating meat sacrificed to idols. It's lawful, okay? But it's not helpful, is what he says. And then he gives some specific instructions about what to do in certain situations. So we're going to see two different situations. You're going to see how Paul specifically applies this teaching. Verses 25 through 27, he gives one example. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you're disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. And so in this first example, he gives them permission in certain situations to freely eat meat. freely eat meat from the market, or even if you're at an unbeliever's house, freely eat without worrying about where it came from. You don't need to find out if it was devoted to an idol or not. It doesn't matter in that situation. Just go ahead and eat. You've got permission. And so that's what Christian liberty looks like in that situation. It's very freeing. And that's kind of why we call it Christian liberty. You're free. You have permission. You don't have to feel guilty in certain situations for doing something that other, even if others people think it's wrong. As long as the Bible doesn't prohibit it and our conscience is clear, you have permission. You don't need to feel guilty. So there, in this context, there are certain situations where it's totally fine to eat meat. But the question is, does that apply to every situation? And Paul goes on now to describe another situation that's very different. In verses 28 through 30, he says this, "But if someone says to you, 'This meat has been offered in sacrifice,' then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined," and a better word there is judged, "why should my liberty be judged or condemned by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness in eating meat, why am I or why should I be denounced because of that for which I give thanks?" And so here you have a different scenario. You still got meat on the table, but someone makes a point to let you know that that meat was sacrificed to an idol. And it's assumed in this case that it's probably a fellow believer who's with you at the unbeliever's house where meat is being served, and they believe that eating meat is a sin, and they're warning you about it. And now all of a sudden you realize that even though you're fine with eating that meat, if you eat that meat, you're going to be offending them. What should you do? You also realize that you're right, okay? You've got biblical grounds to stand on and have biblical permission to eat that meat. Should you still eat in that situation and try to show them their error? Should you eat and show them that, well, you're wrong about this, I'm right? Should you stand up for your rights even if it offends them? Paul says no. I mean, he doesn't beat around the bush. He just says no. When it's obvious that eating meat is going to cause them to struggle because of their conscience, you should not do it. Yes, it's lawful, and the Bible doesn't prohibit you from eating, but if you eat, you're going to offend the other person. Okay? He says they're going to struggle with you. They're going to think you're sinning, and Paul says, why do that? Why put yourself in a position where you cause that person to determine or to cast judgment on you for what you're doing? If you love meat and eat it with thankfulness, why should you set yourself up to be denounced for doing it? Don't let eating meat become an offense between you. It's not worth it, okay? Give it up in that situation, and then when you get home, fire up the grill and eat some meat. There are certain things in certain situations that you shouldn't do around certain people, even if you don't have any problem doing it personally. And it's not okay to not think about where they're coming from. We should always think about where others are coming from and be willing to lay aside our freedoms for their sake. Unless I'm grossly misunderstanding what Paul's saying, I think that's what he's saying. And so you can see his instruction from verse 24 playing out where he said, "Let no one seek his own good but the good of his neighbor. Even when you know you have permission, don't eat meat if it's going to offend the other person." And he finishes then by making it clear what glorifies God in those situations. So the question I posed earlier is, does it glorify God more to eat meat in those situations or to not eat meat? Here's what he says. Usually we pull verse 31 out and just take it out of the context of this whole chapter, but verse 31 is in context here, and here's what it says. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Further explained now in verse 32 and 33, give no offense to Jews or Greeks, and I believe he has in mind unbelievers, because then he says, or to the church of God. And so he's saying, in order to do all to the glory of God, which we love to hear, but then you got to look at the next verse, he's saying, give no offense. That's how you glorify God, by not offending the unbelieving Jew or unbelieving Gentile or the brother or sister in the church of God. And he says in verse 33, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. You know, I thought about calling this sermon People Pleasers, because don't we automatically think, oh, you shouldn't be a people pleaser? And it's like, well, Paul is a people pleaser in these situations. There are other situations where he stood up for things that the Bible does not give permission in and doesn't give us the freedom to choose. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. In these situations, Paul sought to be a people pleaser because he did not want to offend people, because he didn't, it goes back to the stumbling block, you know, that's where this, it's like, yeah, we've been talking about this for quite a while now. He refused to put a stumbling block in their way. He wasn't going to offend them. Okay, I'll lay down my rights. I'm not going to offend you. Big deal. Go home and eat meat. Okay. It doesn't glorify God when you boldly do what you want to do in matters of Christian liberty when you offend other people. I feel like I should say it again. It doesn't glorify God when you boldly do what you want to do in matters of Christian liberty when you offend other people. It's not commendable or honorable to him. What glorifies God in those situations is when you give no offense to the people who disagree with you. And that goes for believers and unbelievers. Paul said he would try to please everyone in everything he did, not seeking his own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So, listen. I mean, you're probably starting to connect some dots here. The stuff we're dealing with is tough. You know, it's important stuff. But I do believe that all of us that make up East Lincoln want to glorify God more than anything else. Like, I'm assuming that. And when you get to this scripture, Paul paints it black and white. This is what glorifies God in these difficult situations that we're in. All right? Like, I'm not trying, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll just keep going. Let's connect a few dots. When it comes to matters where the Bible gives us permission, God is more concerned that we leave the doors open for people to come to Christ than to do what we think is right, even if it's going, or if it's going to put a barrier in their way. Therefore, God is most glorified when we choose not to cause offense, when we seek the good of others instead of our own. And so let me just, you know, ask these questions. Does it matter if drinking a beer or going to a bar offends other people? What about watching a certain kind of movie or celebrating Halloween? What about putting political signs in our yards or posts about divisive political issues on social media? Does it matter? What about wearing or not wearing a mask? Does it matter? Are you putting others before yourself so as not to offend? Or are you focused on what you think is right and going with that, regardless of how it affects other people? What's more important, to do what we think is right with these issues or to not offend other people? Okay? What glorifies God? I hope that Paul's words have brought some clarity and direction for us this morning, and I hope we'll be more careful with how we handle these matters of Christian liberty. Now we're done with chapter 10. And I'm kind of glad. All right. We're moving on. I don't actually know what we're going to get into in chapter 11. Hopefully it's not more of the same. All right. But yeah, this is what Paul has written to them, and I think it's just as relevant to us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that in a 2,000-year-old letter, we can connect a lot of dots with our lives today. I admit it's difficult times that we're living in, but sometimes things aren't as difficult as we make them out to be. Sometimes your word is pretty clear, and I feel like it's been clear in these chapters in 1 Corinthians. Lord, help us to be wise in these days, but also help us to keep our priority, your kingdom and your righteousness, rather than my kingdom and my life. Help us to have the desire to glorify God, whatever we do. In Jesus' name, amen.